following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun.
Cops are out there cracking down on drunk driving all across the country. And they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
At Advance Auto Parts, summer heat can melt down your car battery faster than a snow cone on a hot dashboard. That's why at Advance, we test your battery for you. Free. Need a new one? We'll install it. Also free. No reason for you to get all hot and sweaty. Come to think of it, no reason to put a snow cone on your dashboard. But that's irrelevant. Fast, free battery installation only at Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Most vehicles, most locations.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Time for the Doug and Daddy Show, but no Doug. Randy Bushcutter is here with you with Jim Langan. And Jim, it's good to see you. Happy Friday.
Thank you, too. How's it going?
Going very, very well. Especially, it's going to go even better now they turn your mic on.
Hey, it sounds loud. Is it loud or is it just me here?
Well, it's our headphones.
Okay, there you go.
We adjust that. There we go. Okay. We're monkeying with it, and then something changed right before we got on the air. This kind of throws it off.
Yeah, if my TV doesn't work, it's my son's fault. You know what I mean? So, yeah, somebody's got to.
What we do at my house,
right,
too.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Here in a little bit, we're going to talk with UNK head football coach Daryl Morris, who's trying to improve on 3-8 record from a year ago. Went through all sorts of injury problems, been well documented from 1 year ago, but we'll talk about what they're going to be doing there. Going to be a lot deeper at quarterback. Hopefully they won't go through three starters in the first three games as they did 1 year ago, but we'll be talking with Coach Morris here in a little bit. And I guess one of the things that people have been talking about a lot here nationally on the sports talk shows, and great to have an umpire, an official in to kind of talk about that, is that Major League Baseball is now finally going to be instituting instant replay. Jim, your thoughts?
Well, I think they're going to vote on it.
Yeah, it hasn't been decided for sure yet. But, I mean, every indication is that it may pass unanimously. With the proposal that's in front of them right now, not only will it pass, it might even pass unanimously. So what do you think of the system?
Well, I thought it was a little strange that they get to have one challenge the first six innings, and then you get to have two challenges the rest of the game, like the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. You know, so it's kind of saying that let's keep the game moving.
Yeah,
they're concerned that it's going to take too long and it's going to go on. But I don't know. Hopefully with the instant replay, we'll miss seeing all these tantrums where people go out and pick up bases and throw them.
Going to miss that. Earl Weaver's gone anyway.
Yeah.
So
you know what I'm saying. But they've got a different now. They instead of yelling, they can go ahead and see it and solve it a different way. And I'm sure the umpires, if you miss something, you're going, wow, I'd like to take another look at that too. So there's a lot of times where, as an umpire, you're going, hey, I kind of want this. Because there's times when you know you think you got something right. I mean, you're almost certain you got it right. And then all of a sudden, when the replay comes up and you look at it and go, man, I thought I had that. And, you know, I am wrong, and I have no problem with that. I'm glad replay came in there to prove that. And then there's other times when you think you got something right, and everybody's yelling at you, and you're kind of going, hey, let's take a look at that. And then when, you know, so you get to look at it again, hey, I was right. So at least you have proof. The other way, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's just your word, and then, hey, you know what, after 5-6 years, the story changed on how exactly the call went. And we know that I'm a big Royal fan, but that was a big play on that 85 World Series. And then there was a call. I think Jim Joyce missed a call on a perfect game. You know, there's some things that we could come back and do it. You know, the only question I have, in football right now, if you watch a football game, the referees have a tendency to let a play go a little longer than it should have. Like, let's say a player, they think he's fumbled the ball, but he thinks maybe the ground caused the fumble. But they'll let that play go on anyway because they can always go back and change it to, hey, he was down. But you can't change it the other way.
Right, right.
So once you blow your whistle, I mean, it's done. So they kind of let some of these plays go on. It's going to be interesting in replay. Let's say you have runners at first and second, and there's a line drive hit to left field, and the guy dives, and you call an out. Okay, so now you've called the out. He's out. The runner on second, maybe he didn't go too far. Maybe the left fielder could have got up, even after the trap, fired up, throw to third, get an out anyway. Now what are you going to do? I mean, you've called it an out, and then you realize, no, now it's a trap. Well, I mean, do you give everybody a base now? I mean, you almost have to. You got to give somebody a single.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what you do. And it might be it might be a little unfortunate that it was called that way. So it's still going to be important to get the call right.
Exactly.
It's still going to be important that you have the natural flow of the game. But in so many times in baseball, and baseball is unique with many of the other sports, is that out safe, the play's over. You know, I mean, you start the inning, you're the leadoff hitter, bang, bang, play at first base, you're either out or you're safe. And then you go back and say, all right, I want a replay on that. And it doesn't matter what the replay is, it's not going to alter anything in the sense that he's either on the base or he isn't, based on what there is. It isn't going to change anything else. If somebody didn't, if you say they caught the ball diving in the NFL and you can get up and run afterwards and you say, no, it's incomplete, now you can alter the play because, all right, now where do we mark the ball if we now say that he caught it?
You're exactly right.
You know, or is it going to be where he caught it, or are we going to say that he was able to get up and run with it?
Right.
You know, because you blow the whistle, then you, in a sense, have an inadvertent whistle. With baseball, you're going to have the scenario that you came up with where there is that live action after the call that is a little bit more rare than it is in virtually every other sport. Hockey has a kind of a unique thing where if they change a call, yeah, and they have instant replay. They change the call. They go back to that moment in the game. And the main thing is a goal, if they scored a goal. And so let's say the Canucks and the Avalanche are playing. The Avalanche shoot. It bounces around. They say no goal. But we find out later that there was a goal. They don't stop the action until there's the next stoppage of play. Puck out of play, icing, something. You could score another goal. The Canucks could go down and score a goal, and then they say, all right, we're going to count the Avalanche goal, but not the Canucks goal, because we're going to go back to the 8:04 mark of the third period where that happened, where the Avalanche scored the goal, where we stopped it for, and then we got to redo from that point. So and I think that the NHL has the best system because they go back to that moment, and they just still allow the flow of the game. And I think it's the best system, but obviously that's a flaw if you're a Canucks fan, right? And that sort of thing would happen to you.
Yeah, I don't know that much about hockey. I do remember UNO played Michigan in the first round of the NCAA, and they spent like 16 minutes looking at instant replay to find out if this was a goal or not a goal. And it did not go UNO's way, and they ended up losing in overtime. You know, the baseball, I guess my point I was trying to make, I think in baseball, now what the umpires are going to do, let's say there's a line drive right down the right field line. There's runners at first and second, and there's one out, and it's right down the line. They're not for sure if it's fair or foul. They're going to go call it fair.
Because it's foul, it's dead ball, and we go back to that moment.
Right.
We can go back to that moment.
You have to call it fair. The player's got to play through it. You might throw a runner out at third. You might throw somebody out at the plate. You can do all kinds of things. But now you go to replay and find out it's foul. It's real easy to rectify. So what I'm saying in football.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You're going to have to, anything close, you're going to have to let it go ahead and let the play out. So you're going to be better off on that trap ball in left field, see, saying it's a no catch. Let the players decide it. Okay. The only problem is, let's say it was a catch now. Okay. Now you've lost that opportunity to get the double play. Yeah. Pick it out because that player, you know, so you're going to lose some things here.
You
so
err on the side of a live ball, especially with fair and foul. You err on the side of the live ball.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do. Home runs were easy. See, that's why they had the home run, because in home runs, it's dead. I mean, you go, hey, it's a live ball. I think it's a double. We're going to play it out. And then you look at over, and then you go, nope, we're going to change it to home run, because then everybody just goes. Of course, you're not going to peel anybody missing second or third base on that.
Yeah.
You know, because once an instant replay comes involved, there'll be no appeals on bases. People are going to get those bases whether they touched them or not. I foresee that as definitely going to happen.
Really? Because that would be one that instant replay could easily say. I mean, again, I think whenever I think of an appeal of a missed base, I think of the Pine Tar game with George Brett, because Billy Martin came out and said, oh, he missed second, he missed third, and they had a signed affidavit that verified that he had done that, because it was a different umpiring crew when they resumed that game. But to me, an appeal of whether or not he didn't touch a base, there's a camera on that base.
Well, if that's what the instant replay is about, but if the instant replay is about whether the ball was trapped or not, and then they decide to go back and change it, these runners are automatically going to get those bases. Now you're going to have to change. Let's say there's runners at first.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
You know, they're at first and second now, where it could have been where the guy on second was hustling to score. Got it?
Yeah.
He's going to hustle to score. But now if they go back and go, whoa, 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 hey, that was a fair ball. Well, now we've got to go ahead and get everybody their bases. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to call somebody out now after they go ahead and say, oh, now we have to award you these things, you know, whether you touched them
or not. Right, because you're kind of, in a way, forced to that base.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you called, I guess in what I'm saying, if you called it a fair ball double, and I was on first base, and I missed third, but now we go back and check replay and find out it actually was a home run. If you'd have called it a home run, I'd have never been sprinting. I'd have just been jogging and touching the bases.
Right, right.
So makes sense.
I never thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right about that. And again, the most important thing is to get it right. Do you think this is going to slow down the game?
Oh, it will a little bit, but I don't, you know, I mean, I guess my point is it slowed it down a lot when the manager went out there and yelled at it for, you know, 5 or 6 minutes. And, you know, we've also known those replays, you know, where a lot of minor league managers do that, because I don't think their fines are as heavy.
Right.
You know, but right now, you know, when you get fined a lot of money for doing things incorrect, I remember I watched a Kansas City Royal game live one time, and they called a guy out at the plate on a very close play. He was a catcher. He was only making about $300,000, which was at that time was not much money. But he ranted and raved and took off and threw water coolers out and just went. And his fine was pretty high. It was like a $25,000 fine. I mean, can you imagine, you know, looking at that, if you're making $30,000 and you get fined $2,500?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I mean, you know.
That's a lot of money to that guy. I mean,
yes,
to a guy that's making $500 million, it isn't near as much money. And again, because of what you said, that you're not going to have that argument, I don't know if this is going to take a whole lot more time through the course of the game. One of the things I think is goofy, you kind of mentioned you get one in the first six innings and get two more in the next two. I just think if you got it right, you ought to get it back. And really, do you need more than one? You know, I mean, it might be worth it or whatever. But if they got three through the course of the game, you never know when that play is. In a 1-0 game, every run obviously is very crucial, whether it's the first inning or the fifth inning or the ninth inning. It doesn't matter. I hope that's one thing they tweak, because I think you start the game with three of them, and when you lose them, you lose them.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point about the tweak, because in the NFL they actually tweak it, because you get two, but if you're right on both of them, or you're right on one, then you get two more. You know what I mean? Eventually, you could get three.
You didn't use it.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you were correct. You know what was kind of interesting? The New England Patriots one time, I remember on instant replay, they threw the challenge flag out. And what happened was they were playing somebody, and the other team's defense had 12 men on the field. And they threw their flag out and said, hey, check that. There's 12 guys on the field. Well, it was kind of – I didn't like the call, because when I watched it, the player was actually trying to leave the field, and his foot was still on the field, you know, as in the, like 80% of his body was out of bounds. Well, that guy really didn't play in the play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like he actually went out there and stopped something. So, you know, they're going to have to tweak some of this a little bit. So hopefully it doesn't affect things like that.
Yeah. But at least, you know, again, we have some instances, famous instances, where somebody was really taking something away. I mean, one guy lost a perfect game because of a bad call, and the Cardinals lost the World Series. Royals won it, so I'm okay with how that worked out. It's just karma, you know. Yeah. But I say that to all my Cardinal friends out there. So it's just kind of karma for them. Well, it's time to talk a little bit about the weekend. You know, just right around the corner tomorrow, it's a great opportunity to kind of fire up that grill. And the grill's best friend is Troutman's. They're USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef, quality aged steaks for 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. And it's also BLT time at Troutman's Quality Meats. Troutman's bacon is trimmed up and lean. Oh, that sounds great for tomorrow morning. A nice little breakfast to get things started. So you're not pouring half of it out of the fryer, because it's nice lean bacon already. It isn't just going to be bacon grease. It's going to be bacon. Hickory smoked bacon for $8.59 a pound. Pepper bacon for $9.09 a pound. Certified Angus ranch steaks for $6.59 a pound. A whole batch of barbecue beans being made right now. That'll be great to kind of warm up on the side of the grill. So BLTs, a little bit of bacon for the weekend, and don't forget the beans as well as the steaks at Troutman's Quality Meats. Fresh brats, Andersonville sausage, summer sausage, snack sticks, jalapeno cheddar sausage, which is great, fresh out of the smokehouse at Troutman's. There's always a large selection of fresh and smoked sausage, and you can find them online now. They have improved their website at TroutmanQualityMeats.com. At Troutman's, their service is friendly and personal. There's always someone at the counter to help you with your purchase, unlike the grocery store meat departments. If you haven't been to Troutman's to check out your meat selection, that's where you need to head at Troutman's Quality Meats. Just look for the big steer outside on 25th Street in Kearney. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Get truckloads of savings with great auto loan rates from Platte Valley State Bank. The open road awaits. Find a vehicle that is dependable, fuel efficient, and equipped to help you explore. So whether it's your first car or you're changing out your existing wheels, Platte Valley State Bank has auto loan rates from 3.25 APR, depending on credit qualifications. See a personal banker for complete details or apply online at pvsb.com. Don't delay. This offer won't last long. Platte Valley State Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
You're in your car and you get a visit from an old friend, the check engine light. Your old pal says, "Remember me?" But rather than let him freeload and reduce your gas mileage, you stop at AutoZone. They'll help you find the problem for free. Who's your friend now?
When your check engine light comes on, get to AutoZone. We'll read your trouble code for free and help you fix it right the first time. Or we can recommend a professional mechanic with our shop referral program. Get in the zone. AutoZone. See store for restrictions and details.
And now here's traffic.
The streets are jammed. I've never seen anything like it.
Where do you suppose these drivers are going?
It looks like, yes, it's a BP station.
Drivers are excited about new BP driver rewards. When they sign up, they receive an instant 10 cents per gallon reward. With every second fill up, they keep earning and saving 5 cents per gallon. Pick up a BP driver rewards brochure at BP to join now. Up to 20 gallons, terms and conditions apply. See BP
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Quick out, 35-40, down the right sideline.
Tremendous impact.
He's at the 15, at the 10, he's at the 5-yard line, touchdown.
Great frequency and a big score with local fans.
Lunges and goes in for the touchdown.
When you advertise on Platte River Radio's huge array of high school sports broadcasts.
High school volleyball is on the air.
If we haven't contacted you yet, give us a nudge. We'd be proud to call your business our sponsor.
Send an email to sportsmarketing@espnsuperstation.com or call 308-236-9900.
10-5, touchdown.
We could see some patchy fog in spots. Otherwise, skies will become partly cloudy with southeast winds. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with southeast winds. Lows in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 64.
Back here on the Doug and Daddy Show on a Friday, and we're just, you know, really just a few weeks away from being really in the heart of the football season. By the end of the month, we're going to be having some college games. The high school games are going to be starting, and I should break out my app. Oh, I don't have my phone with me, but we're a little bit less than 3 weeks away from the UNK football team being in action against Emporia and getting started. And kind enough to join us to talk about the season and where we're heading from here is the head coach of the Lopers, Daryl Morris. Daryl, just a couple of practices under your belt. How are things going?
Well, so far, you know, things have gone pretty well. You know, the guys have shown good retention. They're enthusiastic. The young kids are excited to be here. Weather was cooperative today, so it's working out well.
And you guys ended on a strong note. I mean, we talked a little bit about being 3-8, but you guys really kind of had a nice little stretch there once you kind of got acclimated to the conference and didn't go through a quarterback every week. You had a nice little stretch run down the end.
Well, we won three of our last four, and we're in the ball game at halftime on the fourth one, and it would have been nice to be able to get four out of four. But, you know, what it showed is our kids never quit trying to win. They kept coming to work every day and kept trying to get better. And we did get better, and they fought through the adversity of the quarterback situation and winning every ball game, you know, trying to win, and we were able to win three of our last four games, and that's a credit to the seniors that we had last year and the kids that were on the football team last year that are still here.
Hey, Coach, this is Jim Lang, and it's also a credit to you and your coaching staff, because I'll tell you what, it's tough when you start out and you have a couple things not go well, and then to go ahead and finish that year strong. So that was a great job, and I'm really proud of you here. Another question for you. I do notice your football season this year, you're starting with two Thursday games. Tell me a little bit about your preparation, maybe during that week, what you're going to do maybe a little different.
Well, you don't do anything different other than the fact that Sunday's really Tuesday and Monday's really Wednesday and so forth and so on. So it does kind of get you off schedule a little bit. But you still try to have two padded practices prior with a half-rack practice and then a walk-through practice the day before. So you just kind of change the dates on the calendar. The rest of the country still thinks it's Monday, but it's really not.
You know, sometimes I think quarterbacks get too much credit for a win, too much blame for a loss, but you had kind of a unique situation last year where you lost your first three quarterbacks in the first, you know, two and a half, three games, and you ended up having seven or eight different guys that started at quarterback for you. So that obviously was an area where there was kind of some problems, not necessarily anything that you kind of saw coming down the road last year. Talk a little bit about your position now, because you've got some good signings from that last year, and again, a lot of guys with some experience coming back. Talk about where you're going to be at quarterback this year.
Well, you know, we've got Bronson Morris, who had been at UNL, and Bronson came in at the semester last spring and went through spring ball with us and actually showed that he had the skill set that we're looking for, the drive, the competitiveness, leadership skills, work ethic, and the physical tools. We also had Sam Brower, who was basically down with a back spasm the last week of spring, but Sam's a very intelligent young man, a very good athlete, a big kid, left-handed thrower. So I would feel comfortable with either one of those returners being the guy running our offense. And then, of course, we recruited Luke McNitt out of Kearney High School, and Luke can do a lot of different things for us, play a lot of different positions for us. And then we have a young man by the name of Kellen Woodyard out of Florida, who I got to take a little bit of a peek at today and looks very athletic, still young and doesn't know what we're doing, but shows signs of being a good one in years to come.
Is Bronson I don't want to say is it his position to lose, but at the moment, would you say he's on top of the depth chart at the moment?
Yeah, he's number one on the depth chart right now, but again, that was because he came out of spring ball with his number one competitor kind of on the shelf the last week. So, you know, they're both going to get opportunities in practice and in scrimmages, and obviously the one that performs the best will be the starter and the other one will be the backup. But if that's the case, and it's Bronson, Sam Brower can easily move out and play some wide receiver for us. He's fast, he's big, he can catch, he's athletic. So, you know, it'll work out one way or the other.
Coach, it looks to me like your offensive line's intact, too. Talk a little bit about your players on the offensive line.
Well, you start with the two tackles, Cole Manhart and Pete Trouch, who played a lot of football for us, and they're both good players. So they anchor the edges, and we've got Cody Wheeler still at center, and he's been there for quite a while. And June Bug at guard was there, a starter for us last year at guard, right guard. The new guy is Jake Spees out of Mullen, Nebraska, big kid. But this, he's running number one left guard right now, and this will be his first year as a starter, if that in fact is what happens. But we've got a lot of experience on the offensive line, which is a good place to start when you're trying to get an offense going. You know, we were third in the league in rushing the football last year in the MIAA, and we played seven different guys at quarterback. So I felt like those kids played pretty well. And if we can get things settled down at the skilled positions, then I think we can be a decent football team offensively.
You lost Ricky Trinidad, who ran for over 1,000 yards last year. Stephen Rush comes back. Some names that people will recognize. Dalton Seeley from St. Cecilia coming up there now, and a few other guys as well. Maybe even Luke McNitt. I don't know if you're going to use him maybe in a running back or a running package, but talk a little bit about where you're going to be with those guys running the football, where you guys have had some success in the last few years.
Well, you know, that's a position right now. You know, we have Romero Cotton, who came in and wrestled for us last year at UNK and then came out for spring ball as well. He's got a little bit of a quad pull or a hamstring pull right now. But Stephen Rush is still with us, and we've got some younger kids. But, you know, the tailback position is one that's really pretty much unsettled right now. We haven't found somebody. We've got some young kids that we're taking a look at. We need to get some of the older guys a little healthy. And Dalton Seeley had some knee surgery the other day, so he's going to be out for a couple weeks. Probably missed the first two games of the season. So, you know, that's a position that we're not real settled on yet.
Hey, Jim Langan again here. Hey, you had a big win over Central Missouri, I think, last year. Was it like 28-18 or something like that? You beat them. Was there any other game you had last year that you thought maybe got away from you, that you thought, ah, dang it, one play here, one play there?
Well, you know, even in the Washburn game, we were in that ball game. Yep. And had just gotten a big turnover in the kicking game. They fumbled a punt mm-hmm. return, and we got the football and drove the ball down the field, and then we ended up, you know, trying to run a fake punt and snap the ball underneath on the ground, and we had a brand new snapper. Our snapper was injured. We were using a wide receiver as a snapper, so you know that game even got away from us there a little bit in the fourth quarter on a bad snap or a bad play. So I would say if we'd have had consistent quarterback play, we'd have probably won three, maybe four games that we didn't win last year and made a six or seven game winner. And, you know, I hopefully we'll be that kind of a team this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very well taken. I think it's very true, too. Talk a little bit. I know Washburn's your first game. How good will they be?
Well, you know, I think Coach actually thinks they might be a little bit better defensively. They were missing a couple of defensive lineman-type guys who were injured, I think, last year. Maybe missed the entire season with some injuries, but I think they're back, and I think he thinks they're pretty good football players. So I think he thinks he's going to be a pretty good defensive football team, and offensively, I think they're still intact for the most part. So I think, you know, it's going to be a heck of a ball game. But you know, we were in that ball game last year and mm-hmm. and played it at their place, and now they got to come to Kearney and play us. So hopefully we'll be able to give them a ball game and not have something bad happen to us and get us a win, start out the season with a win.
Well, yeah. I agree. It just didn't get any breaks against them a year ago. A little bit later, camp start date this year. Classes, you know, not starting until the 26th. Has this really kind of changed how you're doing? How do you adapt to the late start to the
camp?
Well,
you don't change anything, but you're just kind of sitting around waiting for everything to get started, and you're reading about this team's been practicing for 3 or 4 days or a week or whatever it might be, and you feel like you're not getting anything done, but the late start with the university schedule this year is a little bit of a different deal for us. I know Washburn is 4 or 5 practices ahead of us, and they'll have more practices under their belt before we play them. But I still feel confident that we're organized enough that we'll get the kids what they need and show them what they need to see and be ready to play on September 5th.
We haven't really touched much on the defense. Coach, what's the strength going to be for your defense?
Well, you know, last year we led the league. We led the MIAA in rush in defense against the rush, and I still think we can be that kind of a football team up front with Jack Wardine and Matt Bowman and Elijah Denai and some of those guys and you know, Jake Morton. So I think we can still be a good football team against the run. What I'm optimistic about is through our recruiting with some transfers that we've dramatically increased our talent in the secondary. With Lenyatta Kyles, who actually played football at the University of Indiana and graduated from U of I and has 1 year of eligibility left, he did play in games in the Big Ten. So we feel like he's going to be the kind of guy that can line up against, you know, an MIAA's best receiver and play with him. We have a young man by the name of James Alexander, Trajan Alexander, and he's an athletic kid, a junior college transfer. We still got Kenny Hill. We still got Jack Douglas. We still got Steven Burns, who we unredshirted last year and played some at corner as a true freshman. So I do think we'll be a better football team in the secondary, which should make us a better defensive football team.
I don't think the MIAA, the talent level in there, surprised you guys at all. The injuries obviously were a major factor for you. But after you've gone through a season, what did you learn about the MIAA that you maybe didn't realize or it realized a little bit more? What was kind of different from your perception going into what you really kind of found as the reality?
You know, I get that question a lot, and my answer has consistently been we were not surprised. As a coaching staff, we were not surprised by anything. We knew the talent level. We knew their facilities were good. We knew they had strong financial backing as institutions. We knew they would get great fan support. We knew they were good football teams. So I honestly will tell you, excuse me, we weren't shocked or surprised by anything that happened to us that we saw. It basically just solidified everything that we thought. It's a depth league, and you have to have quality depth, and you have to have enough players to run through an 11-game schedule in this league. And if you don't, you're going to struggle.
Have you, again, kind of characterized for me the league? Is it more of a running league, a little bit of a passing league? Does it really vary so much by each individual team? Or is that going to kind of change and flow with the MIAA based on the talent that they get to recruit into their various schools?
I think it's a balanced league. I think there's teams that like to run the football and throw, and then I think there's teams that like to throw and then run. So it kind of depends on who you're playing, but I think it's a balanced league. But it's an athletic football league, and there's kids on both sides of the ball that can run and chase the football and do things with the football when they get it in their hands. So the MIAA is a much more athletic league than what we used to see week in and week out in the RMAC, and certainly the speed in the league is a lot better than what we used to see week in and week out in the RMAC.
Yeah, Coach, that's very true about the MIAA and all the teams that are participating against MIAA teams. I talked about 2 weeks ago about the legislatures of Missouri and Kansas, how they give more money than Nebraska and Colorado. You guys are about $500,000 behind in all of your athletic programs per right the middle. And I'll tell you what, my hat's off to anybody that's coaching at UNK and going against that already, that financial burden. But I'll tell you what, the way you guys coach and the way you compete and the way you get kids from Mullen and Selma Murda to go after it and go compete, my hat's off to you. Good luck to you.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, who's the guy on your team that you can't wait to show off? Maybe didn't play much last year, transferring in this year, but, you know, wow, I can't wait till everybody in Kearney sees this guy.
Well, I think a lot of people are anticipating watching Bronson Marsh play because, you know, he was a great high school player here in the state of Nebraska coming out of Millard South and having been around the Nebraska program for a couple weeks. I'm excited to watch Lignana Kyles play in the secondary for us, maybe return punts. You know, so we've got some kids. We've got a young man that I think might be a dynamic punt return for us. So we're going to take a look at him in practice and just, you know, see what happens with him. So, you know, I think it's going to be fun. We've got some new faces. I think people will enjoy coming out and seeing the old guys play as well as get to know some of the new kids.
Well, in 3 weeks from today, you'll have a game under your belt. We'll have a whole lot better idea and hopefully come away with that first win and get things building.
Well, that's the plan. That's what we're working for.
Hey, Daryl, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. That's Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. And again, I absolutely agree. I don't think they were surprised by the quality of the league. I think maybe some fans were that they go, yeah, they're good. Got it. But the idea of the depth of the MIAA, I think a lot of the fans kind of got that understanding. I don't think anything surprised the coaching staff. I absolutely believe him when he says that they weren't surprised at all at just how good they were. And unfortunately, if those injuries, just a few, really, I don't think they were a whole lot farther away. I think they end up being 3-8. To me, they weren't very far away from being 6-5, 6-7, maybe even 7-4 really easily.
Right. You know,
and it started with that first game.
Well, you know, it's in football, it's really tough, and you coach too. You want to make sure you look at things, and you're looking at things at the same level as, you know, a lot of times you'll talk to a coach, and I know in high school when I was coaching basketball, a team would finish about 12-8, and I go, how'd you come out? And maybe he was way out, and you know, and I, hey, what'd you guys end up? And he go, we were 12-8, but we should have been 15-5. You know, well, you know, and I'm going, well, is that what? Yeah, we lost game by two, lost another game by three, yeah. And then.
Because they were in a lot of games last year.
But then sometimes you forget about the three you won in double overtime.
Yeah.
You know, you count those as wins. You know, instead of going, we ended up 12-8. We should have been 7-13. You know, no one ever says that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I just thought the way the season ended, their quarterback, that dilemma at quarterback was absolutely amazing. I've never seen a college program at any level go through as many quarterback changes that they had to go through. And just like he said, too, you know, you lose your long snapper. You lose some key people. No one notices your snapper, your long snapper, until
that Washburn game,
or until it goes completely over the head, or at the field goal and the snap's bad, or if the holder drops a ball. No one notices those people until something bad happens.
Yeah, because against Washburn, they outplayed Washburn on the road to get started in the conference. If they would have come out of that with a win, there's just a different flavor. There's a different feel. Plus, you got to remember they got players hurt in that game that they kind of needed for the rest of the year. So,
sure.
So hopefully that first game, come out of there with a win, come out of there without any injuries, and keep kind of going from there. So to me, they were fun to watch last year. Yeah, they were 3-8, but they were fun to watch last year because they battled.
And like you said, they were picked 12th out of 14 teams in that conference. I'm just hoping, hey, is 6th or 7th good enough? Is that going to be good enough? Will that please enough people? It may not please the coaching staff.
No.
But is it good or the players? They probably have higher goals than that. But a realistic thing, if they could finish 6th or 7th, hey, you know what? I mean, let's take the hats off to them and go, hey, that's a good season. Let's look at things a little bit instead of going, oh, no, we got to finish.
If you win
top
five more games
three.
This year than you won last year.
That's
And let's do that again next year.
Well,
let's
try to win 6-7 games total. Let's just win 6 or 7 games. If we can do that, that should be a goal right now. Anything better than that, hey, great. Great if you can win, but let's don't be talking 9 or 10 and then go, oh, well, dang, we only
and
won
then you
8.
Walk away
and we had a bad season. Now, you know, eight games after you've won 3, that's pretty good. That's a lot of difference, a big gap.
Well, I think they were somewhat disrespected with the polling. I think they're going to do better than what they're picked to do, and I think by a fair shot.
I agree.
So, but it'll be exciting because 3 weeks from yesterday, that Thursday night, they'll be playing Washburn to get things started. And if you want to get caught up on what's going on in Major League Baseball, get caught up on watching those college games coming up right around the corner, we highly recommend the Chicken Coop. They have daily lunch specials, and don't forget their happy hours. Happy hours. This is plural because it's 2 to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's a pretty long breath there, from 2 p.m. to 5:30 Monday through Friday. Watch your favorite sport all day long on 15 HD TVs. Not a bad seat in the house. Great food and drink specials every night. Their daily lunch special, of course, on Friday, it is the prime rib sandwich, a choice of side item, only $5.99, less than $6. And tomorrow, the pork tenderloin sandwich, that is awesome, and chicken fried steak on Sunday for $7.29. It is a great place to eat. Get caught up on your games, and don't forget they have the choice of wing sauces. They've got some of the best wings in the area. I just absolutely love their spicy jalapeno wings. They're awesome. And don't forget, on Monday, bull fries and fries, only $6, a little bit less than $6. Their wing basket night on Tuesday, $5, and highly recommend the spicy jalapeno. They're awfully, awfully good. That is the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
My name is Megan. The day that I decided to go into Complete Nutrition, I literally circled the store 6 or 7 times to get up the courage to go in. When you're overweight, you have to be like, hi, I need help. Please don't judge me. I walked in and this smiling face was there, and he was ready to help and wanted to know about me and my goals and who I am as a person. From that point on, Complete Nutrition changed my life.
Whether you want to lose weight, gain muscle, or maintain a healthy lifestyle, Complete Nutrition has the products, supplements, and support you need. Our certified trainers and nutrition experts will partner with you every step of the way to help achieve your goals. Stop into a store today and receive a free multivitamin. No purchase necessary.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
The field perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. I've got some important economic news. The economy is slowly improving, and we saw evidence of this on May 22nd in a speech from Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. When the economy improves, prices tend to rise. And when prices rise, mortgage interest rates usually follow. So if you've considered refinancing your home, you'd better act fast, even if you're underwater. If your current mortgage is higher than 4.75%, or if you owe more on your home than it's worth, call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN. Quicken Loans has helped hundreds of thousands of underwater homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP, the government's home affordable refinance program. But there are millions more of you out there who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. Are you one of them? Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 4.75%, or if you owe more on your home than it's worth, call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. We're engineered to amaze.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We could see some patchy fog in spots, otherwise skies will become partly cloudy with southeast winds. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with southeast winds, lows in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now it's 64.
Ready is the remix to Ignition. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum. I'm like, so what? I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun.
Nice little weekend tune there to get to in the mood for the weekend. And of course, we always on Friday will have our Husker recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation. And today we're going to talk about Demira Mixon, a 2013 recruit, checking with him about his eligibility. And according to Husker Online, he has the required core GPA and SAT scores to report to Nebraska. But Texas High School has a little extra hurdle for their seniors. That is passing what is called the Texas Assessment of Knowledge and Skills Test, the TACS, before they are able to get their diploma. The TACS has four sections, and Demira received a passing score on three of the four. That fourth one is going to keep him off campus. Now his parents and the Husker staff are trying to figure out how is the best and quickest way to get that all straightened out and get him to Lincoln. And you can imagine Demira is very frustrated not being able to be part of the fall camp with the rest of the incoming class of 2013. And reading between the lines, it sounds like he's expecting to enroll at Nebraska at the beginning of the spring, the winter semester, whatever you want to call that, and registering for classes in January, as he'll have that all straightened out by then. This T&L Husker recruiting update brought to you by T&L Irrigation System. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a rather difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system with T&L, that choice is simple. The T&L system provides a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement. Won't get stuck, and it has that even water distribution. Find out how easy the choice is by contracting your nearest T&L dealer by going online at TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. And certainly appreciate their sponsorship of our Husker recruiting update on every Friday, and gives us the opportunity to kind of talk about football continuously. I don't know about you, Jim. I am suffering from withdrawal from going to sporting events. I go to a lot of games, whether it be basketball, football, soccer, volleyball. You know, I don't care. If there is an event around, I like to go to those. I like to get out of the house and do that. That's one of the reasons why I look forward to football so much, is there's weeks there that I'm not going to any games, and I'm suffering withdrawal. I'm suffering withdrawal. I need help. I need treatment.
You must. There's baseball on right now.
Well, on TV, yeah. You know, but I mean, around here.
Oh, yeah, just to go to the game.
Yeah, I like to do, again, finding something on TV to watch sporting-wise is 12 months out of the year. There's like 3 days a year there isn't a sporting event on TV. But, I mean, I like to go. I like to be at the game.
Yeah, you know, I think it's fun to be a fan. You know what I mean? And participate. I think when I go to the horse races, I really enjoy it because I definitely get to win and lose, you know, and feel like I'm part of it a little bit here. You know what I mean? And
yeah, there's cheering.
Yeah, well, there's a lot.
The Husker games that the Lopers are on TV, I'll sit there and cheer. You know, when Kearney's Little League is playing on ESPN2, I can cheer. But to watch two teams you don't have any invested interest in, cheering it doesn't happen. But you go to a game live, even if you don't really care for the two teams that much. I find myself rooting for somebody and then cheering. I mean, it's been a while since I cheered for anybody.
You know, it's kind of interesting when you get into the district or state tournament time and how the fans come and like a district final and the action and how many people come. I mean, people out of the woodwork and you know, there's a vested interest in some of these games too. You might have a child playing and et cetera.
Right. Yeah.
Take that a little more serious than you do, don't you? When you're just maybe sitting down and you're going to watch a game on TV and it's the San Diego Padres and the Atlanta Braves, you're just kind of watching it, and you really don't have that unless one of those pitchers has a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. And then all of a sudden now, you know, just by watching the thing, now you've turned into, I mean, this record, this guy could be 7-15, his record, but you're a huge fan of his right now, and now you're on the edge with every pitch. And that's one thing about sports that it can do, you know, and that's what's kind of fun about just turning on the TV, and hey, you got 30 games, and you can always find that one guy, maybe he's got a no-hitter after the fifth or sixth, and we go right to that guy, you know. So, yeah, there's something about that.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Homer Bailey threw the no-hitter for the Reds this year, and I'm a lifelong Reds fan, and I was watching the game, and my wife came down. She goes, what is going on? It's like seventh, eighth inning, you know. She comes out, what is going on? I said, our pitcher, you know, now I got that ownership because I usually would say the Reds pitcher, but like our pitcher is throwing a no-hitter. I'm watching my favorite team throw a no-hitter. She goes, well, that is kind of cool. And she actually sat down and watched a little bit of that with me. But she could tell because I was, you know, I watched the Reds. I'm rooting for the Reds, but it's like, eh, whatever. You know, there's 162 games. You don't get that invested in it. But when that happened, there was that level of investment. And same thing, if my uncle's playing, if my nephew's playing, if I'm the uncle and nephew's playing, my son's playing, daughter's playing, you know, there is that level of investment. It's just kind of fun to see that as well. And that's part of what I miss right now is you don't make that connection with any of the sporting events that I'm watching right now. That's one reason why I just suffer withdrawal in August.
Yeah, we had a kid that was throwing a no-hitter and at post 52, and I remember this year up on the press box, I'm with the same people, the guy that keeps the book, the guy that keeps the score. Well, we knew he had a no-hitter, but none of us, you know, that rule.
Well, you don't say it.
But, you know, when your wife comes in and goes, what's going on here? Immediately you can't go around it and go, well, you know, no one's got on base for a while, or, you know, you just got to come out and tell her right away. Because, I mean, you can't beat around that. They just got to go right to it.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
check
agree.
The scoreboard. See if there's anything there that's noteworthy to you.
But, yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, if you don't pay attention, because I was watching the Houston Astros, and I think the Rangers, and the guy had a perfect game, and no one was talking about it, and I get in there until about the fourth or the fifth, and I kept looking and thinking, hey, you know, that's I'm trying to figure this out, and there's no one on base, and he's got no walks, and you know, we're in the sixth inning, and you know, it's just like this batter, I'm kind of got
off guy is at that position,
and no one is saying anything. All these professional announcers, no one's telling you what's going on. But I flipped over to ESPN, and they got it. Right
on
there
the scroll.
At the bottom. Yeah. Hey, you got a perfect game going, you know, right there. Yeah.
You got that scroll rolling in there as well. Well, let's talk a little bit of fantasy football and our Midtown Mart. cooler question for the day is, how big are you into fantasy football? Are you in multiple leagues? You don't do fantasy football, or you're just in one league? And where are you at on this?
I believe it or not, I don't do it.
You
at
don't
all.
Do it? No.
No, but I'm pretty much involved in every game because I've got another vested interest, but not in the fantasy.
Okay. Well, that is one thing that I kind of do. I don't do the other. And I'm actually in multiple leagues, so I'm a part of the winning vote here. 50% of you are in multiple leagues. 33% don't do fantasy football, and 17% do it in moderation by being in one league. I actually have two leagues that I'm in every year. Same guys. Love the draft. It's a lot of fun. And then a lot of times I'll team up with one of my kids, and we'll put together a fantasy team. We don't really know any of the other people that are doing it and stuff. And that's always a lot of fun. If you're into fantasy football or you want to get started, we'll remind you that we have the Doug and Daddy Fanatics Fantasy Football Challenge. Just log on to our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. You can click on the Doug and Daddy Show Fanatics Fantasy Football banner. Just log in. And it's one of those leagues that has the floating salary cap. Better the player, the higher the price, and you will run out of money before you run out of players. You can set your team every week. And remember that the value of a player will increase through the course of the year. So you can't just set your lineup and forget it, because if your players are getting better, they're going to cost you more money, so you'll have to make some adjustments. So you'll have to monitor it every week. And weekly winners get $25 gift card from Fanatics. Second place will get a free large pizza at Fanatics, and they are going to have an end of the year award. They're going to pick it out of the 17 week winners, and one of those is going to win a end of the season Super Bowl package. And of course, there is the bragging rights, because you'll be able to see how everybody else is doing throughout the course of the league. Again, just log on to ESPNSuperstation.com, the Doug and Daddy Show Fanatics Football the Fantasy Football banner. Just click on that, and they'll get you all signed up as well. So do that. And don't forget to also, while you're there, check out today's trivia question. Not trivia question, but our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Which team will win the SEC in the upcoming season? Now, this is one that will garner a lot of interest. Who is your pick to win the SEC in the upcoming season? Is it Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Texas A&M? And apparently LSU is down a little bit this year because they didn't even make the list. But you could vote for them by voting for other. And you can email your choice to DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. And again, you can vote by logging on to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the Midtown Mark Cooler question, your pick for the SEC.
Alabama. But
it's theirs, you know, until somebody rips it away from them, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I think in Vegas, when I looked at the top teams that you could have, I believe in the top 15 teams in the nation that they had who could win the national championship, Southeastern Conference had six of the top 15. That, you know, and LSU was sitting there about 9th or 10th, and they're not even on that list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they might
something.
Win it, and they're 9th or 10th in the nation, you know. So.
Well, again, what is it 6 years, 7 years that the SEC, the national champion has been from the SEC?
Yes.
You know, it's and I'm one of those guys, I always kind of have disliked the SEC. I've always thought they're overrated. I can't say that right now. I can't say it right now. I mean, exactly what gets you to be rated as the best conference in the country? I think being national champion. And one year, there was two teams in the same conference playing for the national championship, and it was a heck of a game. And those were the two best teams. Right now, the SEC is just far and away better than the other conferences. And I hope, especially the Big Ten, is able to kind of close that gap.
Well, the two teams, the Oregon and Stanford in the Pac-10, are way up. You know, those two teams are way up. So they've got it. And then you've got Ohio State. And then you're hoping, you know, you're just hoping Nebraska is going to be maybe that other team in the Big Ten. It could be somebody else. But Ohio State, it looks like Louisville's got a shot at the thing. You know, Louisville can
with
play
their schedule,
a little bit.
Yeah,
well, and they're not bad. I mean, they beat last time I knew, they went down and beat a pretty good team in a bowl game, you know. So, I mean, I think they have a legitimate shot at it. But other than, you know, Oregon and Stanford, you know, the teams in the Southeastern Conference, Ohio State, possibly Nebraska, if we're really going to push them in there. But, you know, is there anybody in the Big 12 that you like?
Not really in the Big 12.
No,
I think Oklahoma could be all right.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
Year in and year out, they're there. Oklahoma State, Texas, they're talking Texas. But, yeah. Hey, somebody's going to have to win that league.
Right. And if they do it undefeated, then they would have a legitimate shot.
Right.
You know, exactly. And they would have a legitimate shot. And so they still have that that possibility. All right. Give me a number between 1 and 50. Let's do this. We're going to check out Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion different deli sandwiches. And, again, you can't pick anything bad on the menu. So what do you got for me, Jim?
Let's see. Should we
go high. Go high.
Well, Hank Aaron, 44.
There you go. There you go. I like that. I like that. That is the grilled chicken breast sandwich.
That's got to be perfect.
Oh, yeah. It'd be awfully, awfully good. And at Big Daly's Deli, they'll make the sandwich the way you want. They have a countless variety of toppings to add to your chicken breast sandwich. And make it the way you want. You can email them, and they'll get everything all set up for you, as well as Big Daly's Deli will get you all taken care of. Their locations, they're at North 2nd Avenue in Kearney, 3905 North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They're on West 2nd Street in Hastings at 801 West 2nd, and they're also on South Street in Hastings as well, 610 East South Street. Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion different sandwiches. Big Daly's Deli also offers many other menu items like soups and salads. And again, you can't go wrong. And today, our choice, the grilled chicken breast sandwich, sounds awfully good at Big Daly's Deli. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Head into the Home Depot for incredible deals on transforming your bath, like a new Chelsea vanity with porcelain basin, now at a new lower price of just $99. It's a simple update that ends in a whole new look for your bath, and it's a savings of $50. Give your bathroom a style makeover with a new Chelsea vanity, now just $99. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
What if someone invented a way to find the perfect brand new car that didn't involve driving from new car dealership to new car dealership? Well, AutoTrader.com did. By searching our immense inventory of actual new cars for sale, you can see which dealers have the exact 2013 sedan you want. Plus, see who has the best price and compare offers in your area like cash back or low APR, so you can find which dealership has your perfect car and the best deal before ever leaving the house. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car market.
Do you ever just want to escape ordinary? You know what I'm talking about, with the wife always on your tail, the kids running around like a bunch of wild turkeys, the same old routine day in and day out. When you're ready to escape ordinary, just head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's is the best place to hang out with your buds, have a great bite to eat, and an ice cold beer while you watch all your favorite sports. When it's time to escape ordinary, head over to Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Could see some patchy fog in spots. Otherwise, skies will become partly cloudy with southeast winds. Highs will be in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with southeast winds. Lows in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 64.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock. Somewhere.
Welcome back here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, a better way on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Check out their complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. And don't forget to go to Think Midway on Facebook to enter their Husker football season ticket giveaway. Not just the game. Season ticket giveaway. The winner will be announced on August the 25th, so you've got a little bit over a week to get yourself registered. And, you know, if you're going to register once, you might as well register twice. Increase your odds of getting that season ticket giveaway from the folks at Midway. And don't forget, you can get your car taken care of nicely there at Midway. $10 off their fluid change right now, and their summer special. Get that front end aligned, get everything all checked out, and don't forget to check out their great selection of vehicles: Midway Chevrolet, Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Kearney on South 2nd Avenue. Midway is the better way. You got big plans for the weekend? You got anything kind of rolling this weekend?
Well, I think I'm going to watch Kearney High scrimmage at 9:30 in the morning on Saturday. You know, that's my number one thing I'm going to probably do.
That's not the formal, or is it?
That's not the formal scrimmage.
Just a scrimmage. And I think I got one of those that I get to watch. I might watch that. Well, I won't be able to make that one tomorrow because the Elizabeth Stratton Run is tomorrow, the 7th annual Elizabeth Stratton Memorial Run tomorrow. 5K run starts at 8:30. The kids' one-mile fun run will start at 9:30. And we still have some T-shirts left over. Can't guarantee if you show up and register the day of the event tomorrow that we'd be able to get you a shirt, but they are certainly going to try to do that. The cost is $15 per person. There is a family package for $50. It is a great opportunity to kind of have a nice little family event. That is tomorrow at Yanny Park. Again, the 5K run and walk is at 8:30. The kids' one-mile fun run would be at 9:30. So I don't know if I'm going to make the scrimmage over at Kearney High, but yeah, I think they could be pretty interesting this year. I think they could be a lot of fun to watch this year.
Yeah, I think they'll be I think they'll be in the top 10. I mean, there's not that many teams in Class A compared to some of the other classes, but I think they'll be in the top 10. They're not, so they're going to surprise some people.
Yeah.
You know, Randy, what surprised me was when you were picking your chicken wings earlier in the show, how hot you wanted them. You wanted the jalapenos.
You're not sweating, you're not eating.
Yeah, you sweat. I mean, I would just sit at the table and start sweating. I don't even have to put
I don't do stupid hot. Yeah. But
jalapenos. Last time I knew a jalapeno was stupid hot.
No.
A jalapeno's not.
That's habanero that you're looking. That you're thinking of there. Jalapeno. That's not crazy. They'll sweat on the forehead. They'll sweat on the forehead. That's what you want.
All right. I guess. All right. I'm just gonna say if we went, I guarantee you, I'm gonna have to get five separate wings for me that are gonna be called the mild wings.
Make sure they don't touch yours.
Yeah. Do not touch or even get close to your plate.
And it's kind of funny. My kids are always like, "Oh, Dad, that's oh my." You know, they smell it and they go, their eyes just start watering. There's no way that they could do it. And again, I don't think I'm going over the top here. My son now is getting he's edging up. He's moving up a little bit closer in terms of the hot that it kind of comes in there. But, you know, again, if you're eating wings and you're not sweating, you're not really eating.
Yeah, my son, I think, is the same way because now when we get a baked potato, he will start to put butter on it.
Ah.
You know, so we've really increased, you know, really taken chances in life now when you start putting the butter on your baked potato, because we did that for years where you just get to have it plain. Yeah, that's amazing.
He ate it plain?
Yeah, I'm telling you, we do not have to have a whole lot of condiments at our house because we are not putting anything on anything, you know, nothing. We just don't need anything. You know, usually, I mean, our pancakes, we actually have the syrup, but we just have one flavor. Yeah, we do not try those other flavors.
Oh, yeah.
One flavor is
maple syrup. Maple,
yeah.
Right? Maple?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah.
Biggest complaint I had in the last couple of months was we had creamy peanut butter instead of the chunky. And I thought to myself, the biggest complaint I have in life is I have creamy peanut butter instead of the chunky. I think life's pretty good when that happens,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, you know, an ice cream. We thought there was only two flavors until he was 12. Vanilla, chocolate, and then the twist. We didn't know there was other. Actually, one time I accidentally went into Baskin-Robbins, messed things up. He looked over there.
Oh, yeah.
From then on, yeah.
How are you going to bring him back now that they've gone to Baskin-Robbins? How are you going to bring him back? Hey, Jim, thanks so much for joining us today. And we'll have you back again next week.
All right. See you later.
All right. I'm Randy Bushcutter, Jim Lang, and thanks so much for joining us. Certainly want to say thanks to Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, for being our guest today on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back again at it Thursday, Monday morning at 11 a.m. Join us back here on the ESPN Superstation for the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good weekend, everybody.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.